Tomorrow, the Supreme Court will consider a case that could have far-reaching consequences for privacy law in the digital era. The case, Carpenter versus the United States, is about whether police can obtain cell phone location information from cell phone service providers without a warrant. Joining us now is Emily Bazelon, who's a staff writer at the New York Times Magazine and a fellow at Yale Law School. Emily, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me.
And start with the crime at the center of this case. It was a robbery at a Radio Shack?
Yeah, there were a group of robbers, according to the police, and they were stealing phones. That's the sort of central irony in this case that every single person will have to point out, because these thieves were stealing lots of telephones from Radio Shack, but they were undone by their own phones.
It was their own phones. So the fact that they were stealing phones didn't really matter. That's not the phones we're talking about.
Exactly. They were arrested for a string of robberies they were committing. This one was at Radio Shack. And one of the alleged leaders of the group, Timothy Carpenter, his phone was turned over to the police. And then the police went and they got all the records of his cell phone tower communications. In other words, the pinging that your phone does with the cell phone tower, which reveal a lot about your location and your movements. The police got that information without a traditional warrant. And so the central question in this case is whether all of this particular evidence against Timothy Carpenter should have been admitted into court. I should also add there was other evidence against this guy. Witnesses testified against him, and so did some of the people that he committed the robberies with.
What is the argument that they don't need a warrant to get that information?
The argument that they don't need a warrant goes to a couple of points. So one is an old Supreme Court case from the 1970s in which the court said, once you turn over information to a phone company, it's not yours anymore. So that matters because the Fourth Amendment gives us protections against unreasonable searches and seizures. But there are protections. They apply to us and the things we own. If the records about the way you use your phone belong to the phone company, the Supreme Court reasoned in the 70s, then they're not yours. And so in the 70s, the court said that all the records of the phone numbers you dial from your landline, those belong to the phone companies, and so they're not covered by the protections of the Fourth Amendment. That's the first ground for thinking what the government did here with Mr. Carpenter was okay. And the second ground comes from a federal law called the Stored Communications Act. And it says that prosecutors have to go to court to get the kind of location tracking data the prosecutors got about Carpenter, but there's a lower standard of proof. You don't have to show probable cause that you need the information if you're the prosecution. You just have to show that there are reasonable grounds to believe that it's relevant to your investigation. And so the big question here is whether that law that Congress passed, whether that's good enough or whether the higher probable cause standard of the Fourth Amendment should apply in these cases.
And what are some of the other court decisions about cell phones and digital privacy that might set a precedent in this case?
Well, a couple of years ago, the Supreme Court said that you do have a right to a warrant if the police want to search your phone. So in other words, that's not like the records of what your phone has been up to that the phone companies have. It's the data actually on your device. And then a couple of years before that, there was a case in which the police were trying to put a 30-day GPS device on a car that would track all of someone's movements. And the Supreme Court said, no, can't do that. That goes too far. That's too much of an invasion of people's privacy.
Emily, why is this case so important? What's the possible impact?
Well, when the police got these records about Timothy Carpenter, they got almost 13,000 pieces of information tracking his movements. So when you think about that and the way that our cell phones are connected almost all the time to towers, relaying all kinds of information about where we're going, that's a great deal of power to give the police. And so the question is, should the police have to show probable cause before they can find out basically everything about your daily movements if you're using your phone? Or is this idea that it's enough to show that they, you know, have some reasonable belief that they need the information? That's really the question here. It's about the scope of what we let law enforcement find out about our daily movements.
Do you have any sense of where the justices might stand on this?
Well, several justices have been pretty savvy in the past cases about the way in which technology changes the privacy equation for Americans. And, you know, sometimes we make fun of the justices for seeming kind of out of it about technology. Sometimes they mock themselves. But actually, they get it. They understand that cell phones are really computers we're carrying around in our pockets. And so that makes me think that they may well be receptive to Timothy Carpenter's argument that they're is a right to a warrant, a probable cause warrant here. And I think it's important to remember that asking the police to show probable cause to get a warrant is not a terribly high standard. Almost always when the police make these kinds of warrant applications, they get to collect the information they want.
That's Emily Bazelon, a staff writer at the New York Times Magazine and a fellow at Yale Law School. Emily, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.